May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 981. Why should I yield to slavish fears? God is the same to endless years. Though clouds and darkness hide his face, he's boundless both in truth and grace. Hymn 981.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We shall read from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springeth up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his own holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and almighty and eternal Lord God, oh, do have mercy upon us, we pray, and draw us now unto thyself, to the throne of thy grace, to the mercy seat, sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus. O Lord, as thou hast given this place of prayer, this time of prayer, grant us that true spirit of prayer. Or may prayer be indicted by thy Holy Spirit. For truly we know not what we should ask for as we ought. But oh, may the Spirit itself make intercession even for us, with those groanings which cannot be uttered. And O Lord, oh that there is a mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, standing between an holy God, between poor sinners, in garments dyed with blood, that he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God by that new and living way. Oh, that we have an advocate on high, Jesus Christ, the righteous, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for his dear people, or that we might be subject to thy intercessory prayers. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray, for we are sinners, guilty sinners, wretched sinners, miserable sinners, repetitive sinners, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, may we know what it is to come with thee, dear man of old. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, through thine infinite mercy, thou hast granted to each one present that health and strength and preserving, keeping mercies, that we be found once again in thine earthly sanctuary here. We thank thee for thy returning day, the Lord's Day, this one day set apart from all others, this day of worship, this day of rest. Oh, may we know what it is to be found in the Spirit upon the Lord's Day, taken up in the things of God, the worship of God. O Lord, as we gather here this morning hour, we do humbly beg and plead that thy holy presence might be both known and felt here. O Lord, do come make one in our midst, for without thee we can do nothing. Lord, thy help is essential, that we might rightly sing thy worthy praises with our hearts and with understanding, that we might rightly read thy holy word, understandest thou what thou readest. Oh, how oft we have to pray that thou wilt shine upon thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lead me into thy truth, and teach me. And do help us in prayer, or not just in the minister's audible prayer, but also in the silent petitions. And O Lord, as we return to thy word, how thy gracious help is needed, that there may be a pouring in, that there may be a pouring forth. Like as the dear disciples No doubt at the feeding of the thousands upon the mountain, would often have come back to the Lord Jesus with their empty bread baskets. Give ye them to eat. So Lord, we come with our empty bread basket, our empty vessel, seeking that replenishing, seeking that filling. For Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Thou alone knowest how we have come. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. The outward appearance might rightly be smart and reverent, but how is it with our never-dying souls? Thou knowest, Lord, if we have prayed our way here this morning, if we have come seeking a portion for our never-dying souls, come seeking Jesus. We would see Jesus, have come seeking to hear thy voice, speaking to me. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Those who have come feeling so unworthy, and yet begging for that crumb from under the Master's table. Those who may have come seeking Ruth's portion and handful of purpose. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Remember any who may feel to be in darkness, those in soul trouble, those bowed down, those burdened by sin, those dejected, those oppressed, those crying out, O, when wilt thou come unto me? Those begging, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Those pleading with a psalmist, remember me with a favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O, visit me with thy salvation. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Lord, remember those who feel to be in great need. In great need spiritually, or in great need providentially, those who need thee to come, thee to appear, thee to bless, thee to comfort, thee to help, thee to undertake. O Lord, remember such in all their needs, and apply thy word, we pray. Meet with the needs of thy people. Thou knowest the needs. O Lord, remember any that may have entered in unconcerned and far off. Those who may be longing for the amen, that they may go back again to their lives and to the world. Oh, could it please thee to touch their hearts, to awaken them, to quicken them, or to bring them into concern over the state of their never-dying souls. Remember the dear little ones, the babes, the children, the young people, and we would be thankful for their presence in thy courts. Lord, remember them each in their young and tender days, or be with them as they grow up, as they learn and understand more and more of the teaching at home, the teaching at the schools and colleges and universities. Oh, but above all, Lord, may they be taught of thee. Oh, taught to flee from the wrath to come. Taught their need of a precious Jesus to save them from their sins. Oh, may they be taught to pray. May thy holy, tender fear be planted deep into their hearts. Have mercy, we beg, upon each of their never-dying souls. Lord, remember them for good, and oh, keep them from the ways of the world, from its influences, from its attractions, from its temptations, from its enticements. So did not I, because of a fear of God, or that unctuous, that bright light to all that is right, and yet that bar to all that is wrong. Remember, dear parents, also, grant all needed wisdom, grace, and understanding. Remember all in the midst of life, with the many cares, burdens, responsibilities. Oh, grant all needed help, all sufficient help. Oh, Lord, in the workplace, in the business, in the home, in the family. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. And do remember older friends also, in their declining years. Oh, Lord, draw near to them. Comfort their hearts. Oh, may it be well, well for time, well for eternity. We would lovingly pray for any unable to be here this morning, those who would be here if they could. Remember any in sickness, affliction, in pain, in distress. Grant healing, restoring, strengthening, sanctifying mercies. O Lord, remember any who have the care of others. Remember any in lawful employments or any away at this time. Lord, do bless thy people here. Or remember each one, both in the church and in the congregation. Bless the officers of the church here. Grant all needed grace and help. Oh, Lord, and could it please thee, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and take of his pleasant fruits. Lord, do remember thy dear people, wherever they are meeting this day. Remember each of thy servants. Lord, be with them and help them. Lord, remember those causes where there is no minister to preach. Lord, do remember the cause at Salville. Help one there in the reading service. O Lord, look upon Zion, the city of thy solemnities, and turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. O Lord, have mercy upon Zion, and grant a true godly prosperity, if it might so please thee, and redound to the honour and glory of thy name. Now, Lord, do help us as we must turn to thy word. Oh, thy help is so greatly needed. Lord, come to our aid. Grant the gift of the Holy Ghost and apply thy word. Oh, may there be hearts prepared as the good ground to receive thy word. Compassion on us have, we pray, and empty send us not away, as we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. Hymn 1028.
Thank you.
in complete and utter dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 12, reading verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Lord's gracious dealings with his dear people. This little clause, for whom the Lord loveth. That there is a people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue whom the Lord God Almighty has set his love upon, for whom the Lord loveth, speaks of nothing but God's mercy, God's rich, infinite mercy. For do we not read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? That there is none righteous, no, not one. That all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve are born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Do we not read that the carnal mind is enmity against God, an enemy to God, an enemy to God's word, an enemy to God's ways, an enemy to God's truths, an enemy to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Away with him, away with him, cries a natural man. We will not have this man to reign over us. Or you see how the natural man wars against God and the things of God. There is that hatred, there is that enmity, there is that opposition. We want our own ways, our own fleshly lusts, the carnal mind ever seeking to devour its lusts upon those enticing things which the world setteth forth, things to be had, things to be desired. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Such is man by nature. And we are not one iota, one tiny fraction, any better. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, do we not read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? For whom the Lord loveth. Again, it speaks of nothing but infinite mercy. Loved a rebellious people. Loved a hard-hearted people. Loved a people bent upon sin, idolatry, all manner of corruptions, speaking lies, detesting the things of God, the ways of God. for whom the Lord loveth. And yet God in his great mercy chose out a people that he would save. He would save from a never-ending eternity in hell. That he would save from the bottomless pit. That he would save from the lake burning with fire. For whom the Lord loveth. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. For whom the Lord loveth, that the Lord in his mercy might set his love upon poor sinners. How beautifully is this brought forth in that very, very well-known text, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, his people in the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The love of God in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon this sin-cursed earth, that he might destroy the works of Satan, the devil, that he might be the saviour of his dear people by becoming a real man. Verily God, verily man, both in body and in soul. A man that is a real man. For whom the Lord loveth. Oh, you see, the love of the Lord Jesus in so willingly coming. His love unto his people, that he might be found like unto his brethren, sin only accepted. That he might be found as a real man upon this earth, born of the Virgin Mary. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people for whom the Lord loveth. And that the Lord Jesus, though he gave the law at Sinai, or with that word of absolute obedience to the commandments of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. For whom the Lord loveth, the Lord Jesus as a real man came under the holy law of God, a servant to the law, that he might fulfill that law and make it honourable, fulfill it in every possible way, that he neither sinned in word, nor in deed, nor in thought, no sins of commission, but also no sins of omission. A perfect saviour, that he might save his people from their sins by working out that robe of righteousness to cover his people with. For whom the Lord loveth, or behold the love of Christ in laying down his life to save his people from their sins. Oh, the great love of Christ in loving his people. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, because he cares for them, or he cares for them eternally, for whom the Lord loveth. Oh, taken by wicked hands, yes, but he laid down his life there upon the cross, where he bled, where he suffered, where he groaned, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because the sins of his dear people were laid upon him. Yea, he loved the people. He became their saviour, as their sins that they had committed against God were laid upon him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For whom the Lord loveth, it is finished. Oh, when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross at Calvary, it is finished. Oh, the salvation of his dear people. No more can the guilt of their sins be laid upon them, for they were laid upon him. He bore the sins of many, his dear people, his dear sheep, who hear his dear voice, who follow him, who believe on him, who forsake all, yet and follow him. For whom the Lord loveth. Again, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Comforter, for whom the Lord loveth. Oh, on that errand of love and mercy to awaken, to quicken. What a mercy, a wonderful mercy, if the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has quickened, awakened us. Again, the apostle speaking in the Ephesians concerning the Holy Spirit's work in awakening. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The Lord's gracious dealings with his dear people. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, in seeking, as the Lord may be pleased to help me in bringing this word before you, firstly, to speak of what this word does not mean. This word does not mean of one with a great big rod beating mercifully a poor, helpless little one, shall we say. It does not speak of one, as it were, in anger and out of control, beating through that word chastening and the word scourging, which literally means to be whipped. As we understand it, sadly, in foreign lands where the whip is used against those who have committed various crimes, and there's no mercy in it, there's no love in it. The word does not mean that at all. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The apostle here is quoting from Proverbs chapter 3, when perhaps partly a clearer understanding of what this word does mean. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. This word speaks of discipline. The Lord disciplining, correcting, chastising, scourging his dear people. The Lord's dear people are called to walk by faith and not by sight. And they are called out of this world. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And this begins as soon as the Lord in his sovereignty, in his love, in his mercy, begins that work of grace. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace. By God's grace, for by grace are ye saved, through faith. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How does one walk by faith? What is it to walk by faith? We have it so clearly, so beautifully set forth in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Those three words. To walk by faith. Looking unto Jesus. The natural man will not be found looking unto Jesus. He may be very religious. He may be full of his own good works and his own good deeds. He may be full of his own self-righteousness and his self-importance, holier than thou, better than thou, more deeply taught than thou. That is not looking unto Jesus. Those who are found looking unto Jesus are those who are found feeling their need of him. Their need of him as their saviour. Their need of him as their redeemer. Their need of him as the one thing needful. Their need of him as the altogether lovely. Their need of him, if ever my poor soul be saved. 'Tis Christ must be the way to walk by faith and not by sight, looking unto Jesus. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, the Lord's gracious dealings with his dear people, and when that appointed time comes, when that work of grace begins, then the chastening begins. The Lord Jesus spoke that concerning the prodigal son. Now, what do we read concerning the prodigal son? That he left his father's house. He took his money. He took his wealth. He took that half of his father's living. And he went off into a far-off country. Now, why did he want to go off into a far-off country? That he might enjoy himself, that he might eat, drink and be merry, that he might have, as we might say, a good time, that he might be away from his father's discipline, his father's control, his father's chastening, his father's correcting, his father's scourging, that he might be free from restraint. And into that far off country he went. How long he was there, we are not told. And I feel it's a good thing that we're not told. Some of the Lord's people are left just for a short while to wander from the ways of God. Others are left longer. I believe I read recently an account of a man who was, I believe, over 100. When the Lord began that work of grace in his soul. But with each and every one of the Lord's dear people, that appointed time will come. When that work of grace will begin. That work of grace, and the Lord will begin chastening. As it was with the prodigal son, the famine was sent into that land. As far as we understand it, there was no famine in his father's land. But where he was, the Lord sent that famine specifically on purpose to chasten that son. He had spent all that he had. He had wasted everything upon riotous living. He had spent all. Though he went out with much, now he has nothing. He's been emptied. He's been humbled. He's been brought down. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You see how those two things come together. That he spends all and the famine. And no man gave unto him. Or such is the nature of a world. Me first. How differently with the Lord's dear people. God first. Others second. Self last. And no man gave unto him. There he was in a most lamentable state. Feeding the swine. And so hungry. He would have fed himself upon those husks that the swine did eat. for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he correcteth, he deals with, and he remembers his father's house. He remembers his father's house, where there was bread not only for his father, his elder brother, but also for the servants, also for the lowest, meanest servant, there was bread enough. And here he was, famishing, starving in his far off country. He must return. It's the only way of life. He must return. So could he come back as he left? Could he come back demanding his place as it was before, demanding his riches and demanding this, that and the other? I'm sure he knew that if he would dare to come back in that spirit, he would be rejected. But no, grace will have an effect. Right from the very, very start, grace will have an effect. He must go back to his father's house, and he must go back now, emptied of all self-confidence, emptied of any pride, or we might say humbled of any pride, brought right down to rock bottom, wits end corner, nothing to pay. He must come back as a poor, needy beggar pleading for mercy. And that is how he came. No doubt many fears en route. Will my father be merciful? I'm not worthy of the very least of his mercies. I have sinned against him. I have wasted that upon riotous living. I'm not worthy of anything. I will plead. Oh, plead for mercy. Willing to take the lowest place now in my father's house. Willing to be below the meanest servant. He comes back in true humility. Oh, he comes back begging for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's how the Lord draws his people back to himself. That is the effects of a work of grace upon a soul. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Not merely said through the lips, but from the depths of a broken heart. A broken, contrite spirit. One under the conviction of sin. One who is truly sorry for the sins that he has committed against thee. The only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now with that prodigal son, the chastening, the scourging, in that far off country, to bring him back. I am sure that there are some here this morning, who when the Lord began that work of grace in your souls, it was a time of chastening. It was a time of scourging. It was a time of correcting. It was a time of humbling. It was a time of emptying. It was a time of need, a time of beginning to be in want. Oh, when we saw something of our own wicked hearts, our own wicked ways, our own evil thoughts, something of our own rebellion against God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, forgive me, I very, very rarely want to speak concerning myself, but just as an example to set before you, that when I trust the Lord began with me, the Lord laid his hand upon me and brought me very, very low. Or we remember the stripping. We remember the chastening. remember the scourging. Where did the Lord bring me? To the throne of his grace, pleading for mercy. Now, I did not have an experience like Saul of Tarsus, like John Newton, William Huntingdon, but it was more here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But there was a chastening. There was a scourging. I feel led to bring another example before you. I trust the Lord is in it. From the very village where I used to live in Sussex, when I trust the Lord began with me, there is another minister in our own circles. I will not mention his name, in that same village. Some years before, when he also sought to rebel against the words of God in his youth, rebel against his parents, his godly upbringing, and he wanted the world, he wanted the things of the world, he wanted to get away from chapel and the godly parents and influence. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And remember this dear minister telling me how upon a Lord's Day evening he had set his mind not to go to chapel, but there was a young lady he was desirous of, and he had arranged to meet her upon the coast to go to a dance. And travelling there, he hadn't gone far at all with a few of his friends upon their motorbikes. His motorbike broke down. They did everything possible to try and repair it. They could not work out what was wrong. He had to say in front of all of his friends, "I know what's going to make it go again." And they all looked at him. "What?" He said, "If I turn it round and go back to chapel." Of course, they laughed him to scorn. He turned his motorbike round, and as it was in those days, one kickstart, and it started first time. And back to chapel he went. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now we bring these examples before you. The Lord deals with his people in different ways. The Lord brings different things into their lives. The Lord will humble them. The Lord will empty them. The Lord will bring them down to see something of their own hearts by nature, something of their own standing before an holy God. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he correcteth. Or the Lord shining the light of his truth, of his precious word, into the soul. And as it enters into the soul, like the good ground receives the seed, there is that implanting, there is the application. The word is received into the heart, not merely into the ears, but received into the heart. The word of condemnation. Or when a soul is brought to see how guilty he is before an holy God, brought to believe the word of God. Oh, what manner of false teaching there is in our own day and generation. Things in absolute opposition to the holy word of God. And how the world, and we might say scientists and other professors, seek to deny the truths of the Bible and bring forth their own doctrines, their own ideas.
which so many fall for and believe in. Yes, men would rather believe in a lie than the truth. But how differently with the Lord's dear people, for the Lord teacheth them and not men. The Lord teacheth them the truth of his word by applying it. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I send it. There will be that effect. Grace will have an effect. The Lord speaking to a soul, the Lord awakening a soul, the Lord quickening a soul, there will be that effect. The word will be received. Yes, there will be a trembling at the word, a trembling before an holy God. Or there will be that bringing, the Lord will bring his dear people to the throne of his grace, there to plead for mercy. And that's all they can plead. There may be an attempt of reformation of life. There may be an attempt in seeking to improve ourselves, that we might bring something to God whereby he will be pleased with us and receive us. No, we read, but when they had nothing to pay, not one mite, not one tiny penny, no, nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now, that's where the Lord will bring his dear people, with nothing to pay. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth in drawing them unto himself. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. For whom the Lord loveth, the Lord's dealings with that soul, thus far shalt thou go, and no further. No further in thine evil ways, no further in the ways of the world, no further in the ways of sin, no further in the ways of thine own fleshly lusts. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Oh, the dear psalmist Asaph, he at first couldn't understand the Lord's dealings with him, but he felt that envy springing up in his heart. Envy because the world were prospering. Envying the world. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And so he goes on to speak of the world, who seem to prosper, who seem to get away with things, who do not meet with the difficulties that we meet with, who do not meet with the opposition that we meet with, who do not meet with the closed doors that we meet with. But being taught of God, being taught by the Holy Spirit, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And he finishes off his psalm, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. There is something very beautiful when we hear the testimony, the call by grace of one and another, in hearing of the Lord's gracious dealings with them, and how the Lord prevented them from going further into the world, further into the ways of sin. How the Lord, at that appointed time, so opened their eyes, so unblocked their ears, so touched their hearts, and called them unto himself at the throne of his grace. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Is it our desire to be numbered amongst the Lord's dear people? 'Tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? For whom the Lord loveth, we love him. We love him. Oh, I believe that is the case of every born-again Christian, of everyone quickened by the Holy Spirit, of everyone called by his grace. There is that love to the Lord Jesus, that love in the need of him. Or that love to know him. We love him because he first loved us. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were for relief in Haiti and amounted to £1,842, for which we are very thankful. And the monies have been sent to the Mission Aviation Fellowship and Samaritan's Purse. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Hope is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, next Lord's Day, Mr. Warren will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us conclude with hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness and pressed with sorrows and with sins on her beloved Lord she leans? Hymn number 92.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.